Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University Audio Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandian Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Nearly every company owner needs more time. Time to think, time to plan, time to set the direction of the company. However, there's a problem. There aren't enough hours in the day. If that sounds like you, then you might want to consider delegating routine tasks to a virtual assistant. This highly skilled group of people can do data entry, design, and produce monthly mailings, create and send out your monthly e-newsletter, and even update your social media sites. If you're going to give the company the direction it needs, delegating tasks to a virtual assistant might be just what's needed. Rachel Rasmussen launched Rescue Desk Virtual Assistant Services in early 2008 to offer experience and expertise in project management, marketing, communications, and organizational support to businesses in the Madison, Wisconsin area and beyond. She and her team at Rescue Desk are successful behind-the-scenes partners to small business owners and sole proprietors who need a high-level executive assistant, but not necessarily a full-time employee. Rachel co-founded the Wisconsin Virtual Assistant Network in order to coordinate professional development initiatives to other virtual assistants in Wisconsin, as well as provide education to the state's business community about the virtual assistant industry. She has been interviewed for different industry publications and local business news outlets on the virtual assistant industry and its growing impact as a solution for small business owners. This presentation will provide all the information needed to find out if utilizing a virtual assistant is right for your company. By the way, Grandian Associates utilizes Rachel and her Rescue Desk team to handle a variety of routine tasks on a monthly basis. Now, give Rachel a listen to see if utilizing a virtual assistant might help your company grow and prosper.
Hello, and thank you so much for this opportunity to be part of the Small Business University. We're thrilled to be part of this program. We are big fans of this, and we're looking forward to sharing some information with you about how you can grow your company in a way that is cost-effective, provides flexibility, and gives you, as a business owner, an important tool to help you gain back what most business owners I know need most, which is their time. My name is Rachel Rasmussen, and I am the founder and owner of Rescue Desk Virtual Assistant Services. We've been in business since early 2008, and we are part of a growing industry, the virtual assistant industry, that allows companies to outsource many of their routine business processes and get some of those time-consuming support tasks off of their to-do lists and onto somebody else's. Because individual virtual assistants and virtual assistant firms like ours are service providers, clients don't need to worry about things like employee costs, benefits, equipment, unproductive time around the water cooler, and other costs that are associated with hiring an employee. In fact, it's not unlike how a construction contractor, for example, hires subcontractors to do specialized work on different projects. Business owners have the option to subcontract some of the business processes on their to-do list to a specialist to handle for them. In this presentation, we're going to cover quite a bit of information. First, we're going to answer the question, what is a virtual assistant, or VA for short? We'll talk about some examples of projects and processes that can be outsourced to a VA or a VA firm. And along with that, we'll talk a little bit about the process of delegation. I know that's sometimes difficult for business owners to tackle. And we'll talk about what makes a good client VA relationship, how to find a virtual assistant to work with to help you grow your business, and we'll talk a little bit about how much it costs to work with a virtual assistant. So first, what is a virtual assistant? Well, because the VA industry is relatively new, it's made its way onto the small business landscape in maybe the last 20 to 25 years or so, the definitions can vary a bit depending on who you ask. In fact, as the industry matures, the term virtual assistant itself is starting to morph slightly as well. And you're hearing terms like administrative consultant and administrative support services to also define the types of services that are provided. But at the end of the day, there are absolutely some common threads among all of the definitions that you might hear that talk about providing virtual support services. But for the sake of simplicity, we will continue to use the term virtual assistant and VA throughout our talk today. Virtual assistants are first and foremost entrepreneurs and business owners themselves who provide administrative, technical, and or creative assistance to more than one client at a time virtually. They are generally very highly trained in the services they provide, and the virtual part of virtual assistant simply means that they don't work on site with their clients. They use some simple communication and project management tools to be able to work remotely. So, in other words, VAs are like an outsourced executive assistant or an outsourced marketing or communications assistant, most often using web-based technologies to communicate with and support the needs of their business owner clients. So the common threads that I mentioned earlier include entrepreneurship. Each VA owns his or her own business. They're independent service providers, not unlike contractors or freelancers, and the service they provide is supportive in scope and nature, and they work virtually, meaning they're not on site with their clients. With that being said, it's also important to talk a little bit about what a virtual assistant is not. They are not an employee, and this goes back to the VA running his or her own business, not at all unlike your accountant or your bookkeeper or any other service provider you use for your business. A virtual assistant is also not a telecommuter, which is another term generally associated with employment. It's an important distinction to make, especially when we get into a little more about what a VA can do for you and your business. Because of the nature of what a VA does, which is provide regular, ongoing support services for their clients, they tend to get very involved and build a solid, trusting, long-lasting partnership with their clients. But the distinction needs to be made right up front that they are a vendor, a service provider, not an employee. And because of that ongoing regular support, it's an important boundary to understand because your VA is working with more than one client at a time, and they are going to have some of their own internal processes and procedures set up to be able to do so effectively and successfully. The typical business model of a VA or a VA firm is probably not unlike yours as a business owner. VAs are often sole proprietors working for their clients out of a home office, although there are certainly some exceptions to that. Our firm, Rescue Desk, for example, works out of an office space near the beautiful downtown area of Madison, Wisconsin, for those of you in the Midwest. And we have two employees and a handful of freelancers that we call on depending what kind of expertise and skill sets are needed for the projects our clients send to us. But we run our firm the same way any successful individual sole proprietor would. We are a billable hour firm, which we'll get into shortly when we talk about how to work with a virtual assistant. We set up long-term, short-term, or single-project agreements with our clients, and we build marketing strategies and ideal client profiles the same way that an individual sole proprietor VA would. So, now that you have a little bit of background about what a VA is and is not, let's talk a little bit about how to work with a VA, since I suspect outsourcing some of your regular to-do list to someone not sitting in the same office as you might be a relatively new concept and something worth considering. But usually, the first step is all about you. You find yourself spending more and more time at the office, keeping up with those administrative tasks that it takes to run your business. And that can mean anything from making sure data is entered into your system, your monthly mailing is designed and sent to your prospective customers, your social media sites are staying updated, which is important these days. Your quarterly e-newsletter is produced and sent to your email list. You're sending follow-up postcards to former customers, and a whole host of other things. But what you're not doing is anything that is directly generating revenue. You're not filling the sales pipeline. You're not focusing on billable projects, or you're not spending the time that it takes to strategically plan for your business's future growth. You're mired down in the day-to-day, and the question you have to ask yourself is, what I'm doing the really the best use of my time? And 9 times out of 10, it's usually not. And this is especially true for small companies that are maybe sole proprietorships or have a small team of maybe 2 or 3 people. Let me put it another way for some of you number crunchers out there. Let's say your time is worth $100 an hour. That includes what you pay yourself, what it costs to run your business, etc., things like that. And say you spend 4 hours a week on important but non-revenue generating, non-billable tasks, like some of the examples that I mentioned earlier. That's $400 per week that you'll never get paid for, or about $1,600 a month, or more than $19,000 per year, $19,200 to be exact. This is time and tasks that you'll never get paid for. And that's when it's time to delegate, when you're losing balance and focus, when you're not spending time focusing on what you're passionate and excited about doing, and most importantly, when you're losing money and opportunities because you're not delegating. And delegating is not an easy thing, especially for small business owners. You're not only used to doing everything yourself, but your business is your livelihood, and it would take a lot to trust someone else to handle some of the details to help you be successful. But consider the alternative. If you don't delegate, you're going to continue to bump your head on the ceiling of capacity, and if you don't somehow incorporate ways to offload some of the routine tasks that it takes to run your business, you'll have a very difficult time growing. And for a little bit more information about some resources to help you learn how to delegate, there is a downloadable PDF file that's part of this program that we included to help listeners kind of gauge their level of delegation, maybe where some of the weak spots are, and some online web-based tools that I would strongly encourage you to take a look at when you have a few minutes. And then, so the next step is deciding that, yep, it's time to get some help. But you're not sure you're ready, or even if you want the responsibility of hiring an employee, excuse me. You may work out of your home and not want someone sitting in the living room next to you, or you may not have the financial resources to take on a part-time employee and the costs associated with that. Or heck, you may love doing some of that behind-the-scenes work yourself, but you might just need some help getting through a busy business cycle, or in the case of some of the trades industries out there, through a busy season. And that's where a virtual assistant firm steps right in. It's a solution that's flexible, it's often more cost-effective than hiring an employee, and you get a ready-made expert to help behind the scenes. So the next step, after you've decided to add a virtual assistant or to partner with a virtual assistant firm, is to start searching for one. But even before you do that, it's always beneficial to take a little time to map out what areas you need help with. Bookkeeping, invoicing, website updates, customer follow-ups, marketing support, social media maintenance, like I mentioned earlier, or whatever. Make a list. Another great exercise that we encourage some of our prospective clients and even some of our current clients to do is to keep a log of exactly what you spend your time doing every day for a week, just a week. You'll probably be pretty surprised at how many directions you're pulled in and how much energy is expended on things that are perhaps not the best use of your time as the business owner. And again, going back to that download that I mentioned earlier about delegation, as part of that file, there are also a few tools that provide some time tracking that are pretty easy to use that allow you to click start and stop when you're working on different projects and spit out a report at the end of the week to show you exactly by percentage where you're spending your time. Now, you don't need to worry quite yet about the how of delegating your tasks to your virtual assistant. Remember, successful VAs are professionals and work with clients all the time on helping them build systems and processes to outsource their task lists. So chances are very good that when you find a VA to work with, he or she will already have systems and processes and tools in place to help make the transition to delegating to them pretty easy. But what that VA will be looking for right off the bat is that list of areas where you need help. So when it comes to searching for a virtual assistant, there are plenty of resources to get your search started. Like searching for any specialized service provider, it often includes looking online and turning to your own network of business contacts for referrals or recommendations. If it's important that you work with someone in your geographic area, for instance, look through member lists of local business organizations. Often virtual assistants who focus on serving local clientele are members of the local chambers or rotaries or other business-to-business organizations in the area, because that's how they find most of their clientele. So you can bet that they're probably pretty involved in the local business community. If geographic area isn't as important, a simple Google search on virtual assistants will bring up national organizations where you could search their member databases based on area of expertise, location, or other parameters. And as a side note to that, by the nature of what virtual assistants do, it is not uncommon at all for them to take on clients nationally. I mentioned earlier that we are based in Madison, Wisconsin, and we do work with a lot of clients in the local area, but we also have worked with clients in Canada and in Texas and California. So don't shy away from virtual assistant firms that look like they might be a fit for you, even if they're not in your area. It's definitely worth asking a few questions to see if it might be a fit. But getting back to some of those organizations that I mentioned, they often have member lists that are free to search for prospective clients to search these databases. Some of these organizations include the International Virtual Assistants Association, the Virtual Assistant Forums, the Virtual Assistant Chamber of Commerce, or another big one is the Virtual Assistant Networking Association. Another side note on searching for a VA or a VA firm to work with, if you're doing your research and are looking around online, I can guarantee that you'll also run across companies that are offshore, or you'll run across articles about how to outsource to VA companies in India or the Philippines or other countries. These are sometimes viable options, but are very much dependent upon your needs, and you need to be careful and know what you're looking for. Rarely will you establish a true one-to-one relationship with an offshore virtual assistant, as they tend to be very task-based and not necessarily overall solution based. And you would, of course, potentially run into challenges with time zones and language barriers. But if your support needs are very straightforward and need very little interaction or direction, it could be an option. But just make sure to do your research. So assuming you decide to work with a U.S.-based VA firm, which I would highly recommend, a few things need to be considered when vetting possible service providers. First, know what you need and ask questions about that VA's service offerings, areas of expertise, how they manage their business, things like office hours, their availability, how they generally work with and communicate with their clients, if they themselves outsource or have a team of their own, for example. And in turn, you'll be able to spot a good virtual assistant because he or she will turn around and ask just as many, if not more, questions of you, such as getting details about the support services you need, your typical work style, how large your team is, the expectations, the culture your company is trying to build, and more. So, because remember, ideally, this is going to be a longer-term arrangement, so it's vitally important to understand work styles, personality styles, and expectations for that. Second, cost is always a consideration, and as it should be for any business owner. In general, most VAs and VA firms are on a billable hour business model, and it's not unusual to find VAs charge different rates for different types of projects. For example, a virtual assistant may have a slightly lower hourly rate for data entry than for customized design services, for example. Additionally, VAs tend to work on a retainer basis or single project support or a combination of both. For retainer agreements, this is often means that a client will contract with a VA firm for a set number of hours per month or per week on a regular ongoing basis. So that means you are guaranteed that virtual assistance availability for those number of hours. This is a fantastic way to get the help that you need for those things that happen on a regular basis, those things that happen on a weekly basis, monthly, even quarterly, such as marketing support, customer follow-ups, or bookkeeping. Things that we can put a system or a process behind are all ideal situations to set up a retainer arrangement with a virtual assistant. To put it in context a little bit, here at Rescue Desk, we offer three retainer plans, 10 to 14 hours per month, 15 to 19 hours per month, and a 20 to 24 hours per month. But we also offer those single, one-time-only project options as well, which benefit those clients who just need help getting a postcard designed and mailed, or help planning with planning an event or a small meeting. So for those projects, we just provide an estimated time to completion. That's what the estimate would look like. So how we set it up is not uncommon across the industry. But, you know, there are other arrangements that VAs will make with clients as well, including value-based pricing and outcome-based pricing. And these are less focused on billable hours and are a little bit more focused on the outcomes of the projects and if goals were met. So I imagine at this point you're probably wondering, well, get to it already. How much do VAs charge? Well, it varies and depends on location, the services offered, the goals of the virtual assistance business, pretty much all of the same things that go into how you decide what you charge your customers. But in general, VA's firms' rates are typically in line with other service provider firms, such as bookkeepers, independent graphic designers, copy editors, writers. According to one industry survey from about 2 years ago, most of the respondents answered that fee question with a range of $30 to $70 per hour. But again, I emphasize that hourly rates vary considerably based on a number of factors. But it all comes back to that earlier point I made about how important it is to be spending time on what you should be spending your time on and how much your time is worth. So, in fact, let's go back to that example from earlier. Remember, your time is worth $100 an hour. That was from our example. And you're spending 4 hours a week doing those non-revenue generating but important tasks, which means that $1,600 a week, or more than $19,000 per year, that you are not getting paid for. Now, hand over those 4 hours of support tasks to a virtual assistant who charges, say, $40 an hour, just to keep it simple. Well, at the end of the month, she's going to send you an invoice for $640. That's $40 an hour times 4 hours a week times 4 weeks in a month. Well, you, in turn, use those newly found 4 hours as direct billable time at your $100 an hour rate. Well, this means that you're billing $400 a week or $1,600 a month. Well, subtract that invoice from your virtual assistant from that $1,600 a month, and you've just made $960 that month. So, which sounds better, making almost $1,000 a month or losing $1,600? Well, if you're like every business owner I know, making money is always 100 times better than losing it. So, to bring things back around to a few of the points that we touched on today, it's vital to think about ways to delegate some of your to-do list to someone who is highly capable, highly experienced, and who is highly invested in your success. And you can find all of that in adding a virtual assistant to your team. Remember, virtual assistants are business owners with a highly developed skill set, and their success depends on your success. But deciding to outsource some of your business processes takes a little bit of time and effort up front to determine what you'd like to outsource, maybe based on any lists you've made or logs you've kept, like we talked about earlier, and to find the right virtual assistant or virtual assistant firm that can provide the services you need and be a true behind-the-scenes partner to you. And it's admittedly sometimes an uncomfortable step to let go of the tasks that you're so used to doing. But the thing to remember is that a VA isn't interested in taking control. That will always be in your hands. But instead, a VA's role is to take you out of all of the non-essential steps, so you're only focusing on the most important ones. Well, I hope you were able to walk away from this program with a little bit of information and perhaps a little bit of inspiration on a way that you can grow your company by getting the support, help that you need in a way that's flexible, that's innovative, and most importantly, cost-effective. And if you find you have some additional follow-up questions, don't ever hesitate to drop me a note. I believe my contact information is also part of this program. Myself and my team, we love talking to business owners from across the board. So like any good virtual assistant, we're here to help. So don't be shy if you if this is something that you're considering and you'd like a little bit more information while you're doing your research. We are happy to share anything that we can to help make that decision easier and make that transition go a little bit more smoothly. So thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck in all of your business adventures.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-432-7963. The vision of Grandian Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandiassociates.com or give us a call at 800-432-7963. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.